Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Hi, Neil.
Hello.
Today, we are continuing our discussion on the chakra levels of depression and taking your calls for on-air readings. So we're going to be getting started very shortly, and I think we're going to take a couple calls first, then get into our discussion. 914-338-0164 is the number to call. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And let's see. Invite our callers, listeners to join us on Facebook. Support us there. And on Blog Talk Radio and on Twitter. Number for further conversation after the show is over is 562-596-7818. And I'm going to bring on our first caller. 205, good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you are. Who's this? Caller, are you there? 205. Not there. Let's see if 262 is there. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, it's Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi. I didn't expect to be on this soon, so I'm just a little surprised,
yeah.
But it's all good.
Well, I'm glad you can hear us because that was the other caller wasn't there, so I thought maybe there was a problem.
Well, maybe they turned it on, and like me, they weren't expecting to go live on the show right away, so they're ignoring their phone or something.
Perhaps, or they
just
took another call.
Perspective. Yeah. Or yeah.
So what's going on?
I mean, things are going pretty well. I left the relationship, moved out. There's some problems with the house, like. There's things that need to be repaired, but I'm getting a deal on rent, so I'm kind of negotiating how much I ask for before they start saying, well, you need to pay more if we're going to be, I mean, nothing vital, but just stuff that we talked about.
Talk right into the phone because it's a little bit, it's mumbly. Are you hearing her very well? Yeah.
All right. I guess things seem to be going pretty well as far as treating patients with acupuncture. I started working with a friend, and unfortunately, her son broke his arm, and then I had to cover for her for a whole day. So that worked out for me. But, you know, of course, I sad that the kid broke his arm, but things happen. I don't know. I don't know if I have any questions other than maybe the direction of my work, direction of my practice. I'm not sure if I continue working with her, work with others.
How many days a week are you working?
Well, I have one day for sure that I'm committed to working there, and then I fill in for her as needed. And I have potential hours at a massage school in their treatment rooms, but haven't really been getting booked. So it seems like on the outside, it seems like I'm not working enough, but it ends up showing up like the day of. Last week,
okay.
I worked 3 days. I was only expecting to work one.
So you're getting more work.
Right, but it's not scheduled, so it's a little uncomfortable. You know, it makes it a little scary for me. So I don't know if I just trust the process and keep moving forward in the direction I am, because I keep thinking in the back of my mind, being pulled towards trying to find something, you know, scheduled and stable, but I don't know if that's just an old belief.
You know, I mean, it would be, I would think, ideal to have something more regular than depending on work to come in serendipitously, you know, because
sure, but
there can be times that it's going to be dry. Are there any other opportunities that you have with other, that you could, you know, rent a room in another space on any given day?
No. I mean, I have that other one, but that's also not scheduled. I don't have the clientele yet. So I'm kind of a waiting game, and I have looked for an actual job where I can come in and treat patients, you know, whether I make 50% of the profits or whatever, that's fine, but they're not available. I haven't found a job.
Do you have a space that you can use in your home?
I do.
Yeah, so that's an idea too, if you advertise and you're able to practice out of your home, because then you're saving on the rent on,
right,
you know, and sharing the profits, you're getting 100% for yourself. What do you think, Neil?
Right.
Acupuncture, right?
Yeah, she's acupuncture. She just got her license. Remember, she was in that process for quite a while.
Well, what kind of your population, the surrounding population, you have to find out, first of all, who would like to take advantage of acupuncture, and maybe go to those areas and present yourself, let yourself be known, you know,
mm-hmm.
either in a social setting, or you don't really want to go door to door, but you might want to put up some flyers. You might want to talk to some of the doctors around that are open to metaphysical energy and that kind of thing. Acupuncture is certainly more legitimate than it's ever been. So you might want to do a little bit of footwork and find out the areas in your circle, because your population is going to be within about a 12-mile radius. That's about it. People aren't going to travel that far for this. So you want to go maybe 10, 12 miles around your area, which would be anywhere from a 10 to 15 minute drive, and find out, you know, where you might be able to make yourself known through any outlet.
I have to
include some of the doctors.
I have to interject something though, because I used to see an acupuncturist in my previous residence before I moved to Southern California. And I actually did travel about 40 minutes to see her. So sometimes if there's a really good practitioner, people will make a threat.
What state does she live in?
Wisconsin. I mean, it's going to be less,
you know,
California, I would think, has more acupuncturists. It's more saturated. Wisconsin, less.
No.
Would that be accurate, Amy?
Yeah, there's not a ton.
So
I mean,
people might travel, I mean, maybe 20 miles, I would say,
yeah,
outside. She could advertise, maybe expand it a little bit, because I said, I traveled.
Maybe, you know, you might want to talk to some of the doctors and, you know, if they want to recommend you as an acupuncturist, if it's needed, some
mm-hmm.
doctors will say, what are you saying?
I just said, mm-hmm. I just, uh-huh.
She just was, just, mm-hmm. She didn't
oh,
say anything.
Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, some doctors will say, well, if you tried acupuncture, I don't know how well this person is, but you know, you could show them your license and get them to know you. So, you know, you're not going to go to the bowling alley and try to get patients. You're going to try to get patients and clients that are in need of, you know, go to some of the pain centers.
Yeah.
You know, there's ways for you to use your brain and figure out what's around me where people go to receive treatment. And I might
okay.
be able to combine my efforts and, you know, you talk to 10 people and only two will say, okay, we'll take your card, you know. But they're going to want to know you. They don't want to recommend a patient to somebody they don't know. So give them some report about who you are and what you're, you know, you know, have you worked on people before? Get some testimonials.
Testimonials you could even do. I offer maybe a mini treatment to people that are, you know, you're trying to combine with.
Yeah.
You know,
so
they can experience
nice
your...
About you. Have them put you on Facebook, whatever you call it, the place where they talk about reports on people. What do you call that thing on the internet?
Oh, Yelp.
Yelp. Yeah, there's things you can do, Amy.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So hopefully that helps. But good for you in terms of getting out of your space. It sounds like things are better for you. So that's positive for sure.
Yeah, and it feels like, you know, what I'm working with my friend Angela out of her studio, that it feels pretty good. It seems like it's a good place to grow. And on the days when I wish I had more, I realized 4 and 5 patients was a lot for me at this point in my growth. And that's okay. You know, I think I need to realize that's okay.
You know, I will say this, since we're talking about acupuncture real quick. And real quick, because we have other callers. You know, I'm dealing with your third chakra real quickly. Have you ever had any problems growing up in the stomach, the third chakra, solar plexus area, physically?
Yes.
And what was that?
Like stomach, like digestive stuff? Yeah. I mean,
When you were really little, fading out again.
Okay. When I was really little, I had stomach pain after every meal, and I was bloated in my stomach.
Okay, so psychically, I'm picking up that if you do some acupuncture analysis in that area of your body, you're going to unblock something that
so
might
herself.
Be keeping people.
On herself. So she needs to do something self-treatment in the third chakra
awesome.
Area.
Awesome.
Okay.
Good. I'm glad you're excited.
Well. I mean, I love the ideas. The energy work of unblocking is always profound when you are targeted and specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do that, Amy, because psychically that's the connection that I'm feeling where it might open up, you get more clients.
Okay, let us know how things go, Amy.
All right, thanks.
Thanks. All right, 205. Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, you're back. We actually tried to bring you on about 10 minutes ago, and you weren't there. So you're here now. Who's this?
My name is Shantae. I'm calling from Birmingham, Alabama.
How do you spell your name, please?
S-H-U-N-T-E-Z.
T-E-Z, did you say?
Yes.
Can you pronounce it first again and talk right into Shantae's? Okay, and you're from Alabama?
Yes.
Is it hot there?
Yes, it is.
I bet it's really hard in the summer. You've got to have air conditioning, I guess, in Alabama.
You do.
You do. It's probably hot with the air conditioning. I hear that it's, you know, with the humidity. It's
yes,
like,
and I have upstairs and downstairs, so it makes it very hot.
Yeah, upstairs can get very hot. Okay, Shantae, what's your birth date, please?
62581.
62581? Yes. Okay. 325?
Mm-hmm.
What's your question?
Well, my question is, I'm supposed to be going out to Little Rock, Arkansas next month in August to get my CDL with a company called Mavericks, and I wanted to know what did you see around me taking up that opportunity.
Are you hearing the question exactly?
I heard she's going to Little Rock, Arkansas for a company with Maverick, but that's all I got. Could you repeat what you said again real
yes,
slowly?
Yes, I can. I was thinking of going out to get my CDL, commercial driver license to drive big trucks with a company called Maverick in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I wanted to know what you see around that situation.
So you want to be a driver for this company, and you said you were meeting with the CEO of the company?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Okay.
What kind of company is this, Maverick?
Maverick. It's a trucking company.
What?
A trucking company.
Oh, so you're going to be driving a truck?
Yes.
All right. Have you had any years of experience doing this? And if the answer is yes, I want to know what you were doing about 8 years ago. No, about
no.
4 years ago. No?
No.
So what would qualify you to to land this position?
Well, they are going to bring me out to Little Rock and train me for 6 months of training, 4 weeks in a classroom, and the next 5 months on the road.
So they've agreed to do this?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So let me ask you something real quick, Shantez. What were you doing at the age of 32 about 4 years ago?
What were I doing? I didn't quite catch that.
What were you doing at the age of 32, 4 years ago?
I believe I was driving for the railroad.
You were driving for another company?
Yes, but I was just doing local transportation in a 15-passenger van.
Oh.
So this is you're going to be driving more like now. Is it going to be like state
cross
interest
country.
Rate or cross country?
Within state, yes.
Within state. Okay, I think it's going to go well.
Okay, thank you.
I think, I think it's going to go well. I think you're going to, they're having you go out. They want you to train. It's a different world today. A lot of women are doing this, and I think it's going to go well. I'm curious. Are you under 5 feet, 6 inches?
I'm 5 feet.
5'3"?
Yeah.
That would be under 5'6". Oh, she is 5'6".
Are you 5'6"?
She's 5'6".
Yes.
So 5'6" or under, which qualifies still.
I visualized that there was a 5'6" in there, so I want to say that first, and then, so, it's going to go well. I think it should go well. I mean, we don't know 100%, okay? But from a psychic viewpoint, the best we can give you is the answers is it should go well.
Seems positive.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. All right. 805, Cheryl. Hi.
Hi. How are you guys?
Fine. Thanks. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I'm going through two different things right now that have to do with these darn rentals. And
sure.
I wanted to see if you're picking up anything from Derek up in Hesperia.
So which topic do you want to focus on? We can do one.
Yeah, Derek up in Hesperia.
Derek in Hesperia, and that's is that related to? Why I'm hearing my voice back. Is there like a radio on in the back or the computer?
No.
Why is that happening? Maybe.
I have that happen sometimes too, where I hear myself, but not on this phone.
Yeah, I'm hearing myself back. So, Derek in Hesperia, is this related to property?
Yeah, he was renting for 6 years, and I'm asking him to move, and suddenly it's like he's not accepting it. He's not paying his rent, he's not moving. I don't know what's going on.
And did we talk about him on a past show, Cheryl?
No, we've never talked about him.
So this is another, because there was another problematic situation with a tenant, I thought, but maybe it was a woman.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I've had two that are, and I'm cleaning out things. So these are the two that I'm taking care of. It's actually the last two, because I don't really have that many
tenants. Okay.
Right.
So, and what are you saying the problem is? I'm sorry, say that again.
Well, I just asked him to move. I mean, he was always paying late. I've built monsters out of these people by being nice. I've been too kind, really. And so I just said, it's enough, because it's like I'll pay next week. And anyway, so I asked him to move. Actually, just asked him to move. And then I went out to the house, and the whole back of the roof is completely destroyed. So it's like he wasn't even reporting damages to me again. It's the second time now that I've gone through something like this.
So you're trying to get him to move voluntarily, like ask him to move without going through an eviction process. So you're
wondering. Well, it looks like I have to. I mean, does it look like he has intentions?
Are you managing the property yourself, or do you have a management company?
Yeah. No, I do, because it's just a single family home. It's very seldom.
Well, you don't have to be, month to month? Well, you don't have to be polite. You don't have to give him. You'd give him a 30-day notice, and you enforce it. He didn't inform you about anything. You know, he's he's not playing fair with you. It is damaged the property, didn't report it. His rent is late. You don't have to be polite anymore. You just give him a 30-day eviction notice and get him out of there with a police escort.
Yeah, I did. I mean, does he have intentions of moving? Or does it look like
it? Who cares?
You know, some people...
It doesn't matter.
Did you ask?
He has intentions of taking advantage of you.
In terms of the process, like, what did you do exactly? Did you say, listen, Derek, I want you to move? Or is there a more formal action that you've taken?
Well, what I first did is beginning 3 months ago, I said, I can't do business like this. Like, it's enough, you know, a couple months ago. And then I decided to go out and see the property because I said, you know, you paying late, lying and stuff like this. I don't like people doing that. So then I finally just had a real estate agent talk to him. It went out and the real estate agent went out to the house and said, oh, my God, you need to get the back part of the roof done. And so then it went from like giving him a 30-day to now I've given him a 3-day notice to pay so I could start eviction today.
Oh, okay.
He's not responding. You know, I've even went to him and said, look, if you want to work off July before you leave, you can help because he's a contractor on top of all things. And then he let
him
happen.
Oh, yeah, he's ruining the home too.
No, Cheryl, get him out. Don't do any more agreements with him. Get him out and get rid of him.
Okay.
Get rid of him. And you're not a bad person for doing it. Just get rid of him. Don't play any more games. Don't worry about whether he's going to cooperate or turn it or he promises you something. Just get him out. You know, the dialogue's over. The relationship.
That's what I planned on doing. I mean, I was a saint until, you know, I told him to move. And now it's like he's not saying anything. And not only that, but, yeah, I've been nice and said, how much time do you need to get out? Because I was even going to be considerate of that. And he just doesn't answer. So I am. I'm going to evict him.
Well,
it's unfortunate. I just didn't know if it looks like he's going to be the kind that when you pull up, you have to put a sheriff lock on the door before he'll leave. Does he seem like that kind of person? Or do you think he'll, during this process, leave?
Yes. He's not
especially
responsible.
If he's avoiding you.
He's not responsible. You set the stage to be manipulated, and he's doing exactly what you've set up the stage for.
Okay, Cheryl, the second thing real quick, since this was fairly fast? What's your second
problem? Have Carlos in foreclosure, too, after 3 years. I'm not letting people do this anymore. You know, I've taken my power back. So Carlos is in foreclosure, and I've given him 3 years. Get this, 3 years to pay over $8,000 in property tax. He hasn't. He hasn't in escrow, and it's like now we're down to the wire, and he really plays games. It's another one. You know, most people think great, but anyways.
So wait a second. This is a house. Wait, I'm confused. This is... If a house is in foreclosure, is he paying you a mortgage or something like that?
He was, and he's always 30 days. He could be 90 days behind, and I take it back at the 91st day.
So you sold
the
house
on the 90th.
Essentially. This is not a tenant. It's someone you sold a home to.
Right. He actually has tenants in there. And right, so it's like triple layered. But even him, I don't know if he's going to be able to pull it off. I don't know if it looks like the house is going to be coming back to me. That's what I was wondering. It look like it's in Lancaster, if it looks like it'll be returned.
Well, it could, you know, it sounds to me like you're going through a zone of taking your power back. So to me, you need to redesign your thinking and have a better structure in terms of agreements. They can't be informal anymore. You've got to have a firm contract. And that's what the border of that contract is, what is stated, not what's verbalized, not what you lend your heart to say aside from the contract. Put it in the contract and then it's enforceable.
Right. And you can still be a nice person with having.
And still notice the people. I mean, that goes back 4 years. Four years and 6 years ago, these were entered, but people are different today. So you have to really get a clear read on who you're dealing with. In the first place, Derek's brother was a manager and moved out, so he was left there.
Cheryl, you don't need to have a clear read on who you're dealing with. You devise a concrete contract and they sign it. If they don't sign it, there's no read on them. There's no deal. So they have to sign it.
No, but they could sign it and still let you down. Right, they can sign it and still let you down.
But then you enforce the rule. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Okay, you mean never let them pay late. Never. Okay.
She doesn't want to have people that are potentially problematic come into the home. So she's trying to read them before she gets them to sign a contract, and then there's future trouble.
Well, if you have a firm contract, people are not going to. If you say you can be evicted in the contract, if you break this contract in any way, and you will have to pay attorney costs, and you make it very difficult for people to move in unless they are going to be responsible, you make them read that and make sure that they have initialed everything so that they understand it.
They don't slip, right? You know, the first month or two, when you let them start paying late, then it's a snowball.
Don't let them start paying late. Then if they start paying late, then get them out. That's probably, you know, what needs to be done in the future, because once you establish, slippery rules that are going against what was signed, then you're going to have a problem.
You know, you need to fine tune your contract, it seems like.
And stick with the contract in terms of your behavior. Yeah.
And that's what you need to be first. And what you do is you control how you read people. You control your conditions. And if people don't like it, you'll read them too,
okay,
because they'll be reluctant to sign.
Okay. Thank you.
So hopefully that helped.
Thank you. That helped. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. All right. 303. Hello. It's Allison.
Hi.
And I'm hearing myself back with you too. It's weird. I don't know why there's an echo. How are you?
Is this better? I took it off speakerphone, so.
Yeah, I think the speaker does that sometimes. What's going on, Allison?
Yeah, I wanted to call, actually with a follow-up to, I think it was last week that I called about the question with the numerology on that mobile home.
The trailer?
I wanted to call back on that, and because I was concerned about the disrepair that it was in.
It was 40213, correct? 40213 was the number?
The address, the street address is 402, and the unit number itself was 13, that's correct.
Okay.
And so I had many concerns separate from what we discussed as well, but also what Neil had said about feeling my mother's presence there. I took some very, very strong note of that, and I walked away.
Oh, okay.
Decided
not to do it. So are you still looking for a resident?
I am now looking still. But I wanted to let you know, because many factors, nobody ultimately, I listen to different, I get different information, and I sort of process it. Some of it I throw out as garbage, and some I take note of. The thing that about my mother was a
deciding factor because of your negative history with your mother?
It's not at all what I want or need.
Right.
And so it was, it wasn't the only factor, but it was like, it really made me sit up and take notice and say, okay, if that's going to be the case with this particular space, then I have to leave. I have to say no to this. Again, not the only reason, but it was definitely not a good factor. So anyway, I just wanted to give you the outcome on that, because it was a very tough decision, because it took, I've been looking since the middle of March to find a place.
Middle of March, April, which is your birth date.
Right, April and June. So it's been a whole month.
And you're 60, so that's, I think we talked about on the previous shows that we've spoken about your comic turnover. Well, no, you're 60, it would be 62.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, so you're 2 years away. I was thinking she was
30.
2 years
away. Right.
Yeah, you're 2 years away. So.
So Allison, did you have other reservations about the dwelling other than the mother issue?
Oh, yeah, like I said, there were many, many considerations. It wasn't just that.
Didn't you say that it was in disrepair somewhat? That it wasn't really.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what
okay.
I
so real quickly before we go on to the next caller.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're going to do on the radio here is we're going to release whatever lingering energy there is regarding your continual search for a residency or a place to live or whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah, residency.
What we're going to do is we're going to release any residual energy coming from the mother zone. And what we're going to do is we're going to release it with the astral presence of flowers. So we're going to use flowers to sort of eliminate, if you will, the energy of anything that would otherwise obstruct, hinder, compromise your search for well-being and happiness and tranquility in the next dwelling you are interested in. We're going to do that right now. I want to ask you real quick, where you're living now, is there any closet doors that are stuck?
I'm sorry, you broke up really badly.
Where can you get in your immediate environment?
I'm sorry, you broke up really badly. It sounded like something about the closet.
Are there closets that are stuck or broken?
Or cluttered.
In your home, currently.
You mean in my room where I live? In my room?
Yeah.
It's just in my bedroom. I'm sorry, he's breaking up. Is he asking, are my closets cluttered?
We're asking...
Yeah. Any closet that is cluttered or any doors that have a problem opening.
In my bedroom, which is the space that I rent, no. I'm actually a very tidy, organized person, so my closets are extremely well organized.
And there's also any problem with the door of the closet?
And there's no problem with the door, no. It slides actually quite well. It slides
very
freely.
Hold on a sec, Allison. I mean, would it extend into the rest of the home? Because she's renting a room, so there's other factors.
Is there any other... Have you heard any reports? Do the people you live with have any problem with clutter or closets, to your knowledge?
I can't say for sure, but it would not surprise me if they're not as organized as I am.
Okay. Point two, Allison, real quick. Was your mother a pat rack? Did she have clutter?
She was also well-organized. I don't know that she really would have... had clutter as much. She kept things more than I did. I would say that, though.
Okay, let me ask you another question. In your upbringing, were you inclined to hibernate in your room? Were you ever scolded and made to stay in your room for any length of time by your mother?
I don't remember how she punished me. She punished me so many ways. I don't remember any one specific, that being a specific form of punishment, but I wouldn't rule it out. I often retreated to my bedroom, though, for safety.
So you would escape to the bedroom?
Maybe. Yeah,
safety. A lot of kids will do that. That's kind of common, but aside from that, Allison, I don't know. You know, we're trying to do something real quick on the radio just to get clearance. Do flowers mean anything to you in your own history?
I really love flowers. Ironically or not, oddly enough, coincidentally, so did my mom. We don't, you know, I didn't grow up loving flowers because at first she didn't model that for me. But that's one thing that we do have in common.
So she loved flowers, even though it wasn't something that you really shared with her.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that it just happens to be that both of us love flowers. It wasn't that
So what we're going to do, real quick, it's just simple to me. We're going to take the negativity out of the common interest and just extract from that, like a flower extraction, the essence of the flower, the beauty of the flower without the memory being entailed in it. So I think that's where what I would like to do, just briefly, we'll do that. We're going to expect you to have a wonderful experience in the next hunt for your dream place, and you're going to love it. It will be a good thing coming up.
Okay, good luck, Allison.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks again. And please mute me so I can continue to listen. I'll let you know what happens.
Please, okay, thank you.
Adios, bye-bye.
Oh, okay. So we actually, Neil, are going to have time for our discussion. So where did we leave off in terms of the chakras and the levels of depression? We don't have anybody else currently that needs a reading.
You know, when we talk about chakras, we're talking about energy centers. And when we talk about energy centers, we're talking about three specific, in our immediate dialogue, three specific areas. One, physical.
Physical, mental, and?
Psychological and spiritual.
Right.
Depression would fit in the middle, the psychological area. But now we're not dealing with psychology, depression, body. We're dealing with psychology, depression, chakra system, which is a meridian. It's an energy field. It's a circle of energy. It's not really significantly defined as a physical energy, although the manifestation of the chakra system will affect the
physical
surroundings.
Right. So if there's chakra depression, system, psychological depression, it will impact the body.
It will, because we're looking from inner to outer. When we go into the chakra system, we're really looking inner, outer. We think of our bodies, our organs and our physicality as having an inner energy, because it's covered by bone and skin and all kinds of things. But really, when you look at it from the chakra perspective, the physical body, the inner energy is really the chakra, and the outer energy is really the body. So now we have to redefine what depression is. If depression is hitting a chakra system, I guess you could say it's inner, because you're not dealing with just the mindset of the brain, which is the body, the physicality of the body, the brain itself. You're dealing with the chakra center. In this case, it would be 6 and maybe 4, perhaps 1, 2. I mean, depression can be
one also,
chakra.
You mean?
Uh-huh.
One also, not 1, 2.
1, 2. 1, 2, 3,
4. 1, 4, 6. 6, 4, 1 is really the order.
And so we're really dealing with depression in a very inner area of the body that is defined as an energy center. It's not a physical center. So when we, you know, psychologists and therapists will tend to treat depression as a mental condition.
Right.
And that's a little bit esoteric too, because we're dealing with the processes of the mind, the emotions, coupled with experiences, and maybe chemical that's going on in the body. Here we're dealing with energy centers that more are attached to our soul than really our body. Our bodies are kind of a byproduct. But so when we deal in terms of psychology and depression, then we go immediately to the body as well. When we're dealing with depression and a chakra, we have to go to the soul, because that's now even more inner. So we're getting into the idea that depression in a chakra is correlated to depression
in the
soul.
So then we get into the idea of past lives influencing a depressed state in a current life.
That's right.
And, you know, how that's managed. I mean, we can get into the birth date. We won't get into the birth date on the show, but I mean, that's going to give us clues as to what might be a potential problem in a person's life in terms of depression.
Yes.
And the corresponding themes of the chakra system. I mean, where depression lies in a chakra system, there's going to be themes of the depression.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, if it's a lower chakra depression or a higher chakra depression, mm-hmm. how that connects.
Well, when we get into the idea of depression in the mind and the body, a therapist will talk about experience, lifetime experience, and try to gather clues from that environment. When we're getting into the soul, we're not really talking about
the immediate environment. Right.
We have to go into areas that might extend beyond our lifetime, and then we have to get into the vehicle that we're really using is a different definition of feelings. It's not so much feelings pertaining to what's happening on the immediate stage of our life. It's feelings that we came into the planet with. We already had these feelings. That's why a lot of times children are a deep pool of feelings. I mean, usually for children, the curiosity in the intellect precedes the feelings.
Right. But the conditions that people are experiencing in their life are often tied to soul issues. That's why they come into the world with those problems. So there's a link between, you know, maybe someone who has a family problem and are end up being depressed because of the relationship with their family, because it's never been what they wanted. That's going to be linked to something deeper in the soul.
Right. Which is a commanding challenge. You know, when you talk about people who are trying to study what's going on in beyond our solar system, and they're trying to define where the origins of life is, and the and different galaxies, and they're using intricate instruments and calculations and theories and physics to understand something that is beyond their grasp, that's synonymous with the idea of a therapist dealing with the soul. I mean, the body is right here. It's not as difficult to analyze the body and depression because
because
the immediacy of our environment.
It's concrete.
Mm-hmm. But when you think of the soul, you have to think of galaxies beyond ours, thousands and thousands and thousands of light years beyond our immediate comprehension and range and control. So the soul is there. For our general purposes, we're going to establish that it's there, just as a credible astronomer will say there's different galaxies and there's going to be probably billions of other worlds like the Earth. So there is a soul presence. Now what we have to define is, from that soul presence, what is the messages that are being transmitted to our immediate planet, which would be our body, our mind, and the obvious indications of such things. So we have to get more into the ideas. Depression in a chakra is related to depression coming from the soul. And therefore, it would behoove anyone to try to grasp and understand and comprehend the energy of the soul.
Well, you know, I wanted to say something, Neil, because in researching this topic online, a lot of recommendations on dealing with depression in the chakras is a very linear way of dealing, you know, work on the first through third chakras because the energy is more dense there and you're going to put light into the chakra, so on and so forth. But really, that's kind of a one-size-fits-all remedy, which I think if you're getting into the soul, I mean, you're going to have such a unique blueprint for each individual that, you know, these ideas about how to fix a chakra system that has depressed energy are, you know, they're not going to work, unfortunately, because you're dealing with such an esoteric energy.
Well, the only sense to that, we're human beings. Not all of us come from the same dynamic, but we are basically human beings. So the structure of a human being, basically, we have heart, we have lungs, we have muscles, we have cells, we have nerves, we have two eyes, and, you know, for most of us.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're all going to be uniform in that regard,
yeah,
for the most part.
So there's a basic design. And in that regard, we can start to approach step by step the depth of a chakra system by first going to the most immediate thing we can grasp and comprehend and have some kind of physical connection to, and that would be the body. And we can start there. But to go deep into the inner structure, I mean, medicine is internal medicine. It goes deep, and the more internal you get into the body, the more actually complicated it gets. It's much easier to treat the physical energy of a body than it would be to go into an internal medicine and then thereby comprehend and calculate and diagnose what's going wrong.
Right, even though that's physical too. It's just a more intricate physical design than the superficial.
In the energy field. So we're talking about depression in the soul, and we're assuming that there is a soul, just as we're assuming that there are other galaxies, if you will, that there's this energy source. And so we have to also think that there are not just seven chakras. In the immediate body, there's eight. And that eighth chakra system is the entirety of the soul itself, which is really apart from the body. The body holds the soul, but the soul is different. When we talk about a chakra, we're talking about a part of the body. When we're talking about a soul, we're talking about the unity of a consciousness, which is more of a solar system within the body, a complete energy. And in that soul, that's really where the chakra systems exist. they're kind of correlated, so that they're all sort of interconnected. But then we have to understand the premise that in the soul itself, which is the unity of our mental capacity to understand what is beyond the body and yet remain in the body in our diagnosis of a certain state of being, which would be considered depression, we have to look into that area and define what it is. And basically, the most crude language we can use would be feelings. Feelings on a level that we almost can't explain. The beginning of understanding the chakra system of the soul is to discuss feelings that we don't really know where they're coming from. It's not clearly definable in terms of our experience.
Right. And I mean, you know, you mentioned how children are so full of a variety of emotions. And I mean, I remember personally as a child having emotions that, you know, I didn't know where they came from. A depth of emotion. I'm sure you had the same experience.
I think all children do. And it doesn't mean that a mystery in terms of an emotion and a mystery, an unsolved premise, doesn't mean that it doesn't have some kind of earthly root to it. Certainly a qualified therapist, a psychologist is going to find that earthly root and discuss it. But when we get more into the idea of the travel of the soul, not the body in the immediate environment, but the travel of the soul, then we have to get into the idea of one of the chakras that is one of the most mysterious chakras of all, which is the sixth chakra, and the idea of cosmic consciousness and omniscience and omnipresence, whereby we take everything into one moment of time. So past, present, and future, one moment of time, all areas of the universe and beyond in one specific space in our brain. We come from these areas as unique creatures of this planet and unique creatures of the solar system. I mean, even the idea that we're made of dust, cosmic dust, that this planet might have been originated from a cosmic dust environment. There's more to it than just what's immediate. And obviously, you know,
right, more than just the physicality of a planet. There's
more than that. The diversity of life on our planet is synonymous with the diversity of our experiences as not only a living human being, but as a living soul. And when we get into the idea of depression in the chakra system, which is now connected to the soul, we open up a whole new area of discovery and dialogue.
Right, but it's interesting because if we're opening up a whole new area of discovery and dialogue in terms of depression, you would think, okay, it's going to be a longer process for someone to deal with their depression because there's so much more depth to it. But in actuality, you know, I think that in mainstream therapeutic practice, people stay in their depression oftentimes because they're going to therapy on a weekly basis and they spend years and years examining
their past
and the reasons for their depression, but it can move much faster when you get to the root of the problem.
You're right. And I'll tell you, you're right. And
really with reservation,
the long road is the journey of the psyche and the body. It is the journey of the mind that can take years. To get to the idea of depression in the soul and to connect to that, problems can be resolved in the twinkling of an eye.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. I was agreeing with you. So the route to a quick passage of revelation, which thereby dramatically changes the character of a human being, would be to connect to the idea that we are of the universe, not of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
If we're of the earth, then we're going to be troubling. Oh, our mother or our father did this.
Or right, and you're dealing with much more density in terms of the energy that you're trying to clear.
Absolutely. So when we get into the idea, where do we come from? How far away are we? Are we magnifying our problems just because we are centered in the earth? And the earth is so concentrated, that's what it is. But the universe is expansive. So that means there's more room. Usually depression comes from the fact when we become depressed, we go into ourselves. We become more confined.
Right, and depression is, I mean, it's a depressing down of energy.
Yeah.
Inhibition, which is, I think, what we You know, started the show with last week.
So, you know, and that's why people who come out of depression say, God, it feels like a mile, tons of energy has been lifted off my shoulders. I feel so much lighter now. We use these adjectives and these verbs to define a condition. And we usually say, oh, my God, I've come to a conclusion and I've reached a point in my therapy where I've let go of this stuff. I feel so heavy now. No, usually you say, I feel so light,
right.
Carefree. I have a sense of freedom. My mind is opened up. Now I can understand more of the purpose of my life and express it in such a way that I don't have these mental barriers to deal with. So depression really comes ultimately to a concrete place, but its origin does not come from any concrete area at all. Its origins comes from an astral energy that our chakras holds in terms of that information.
Right, and this is not something you're going to hear in a psychologist's office.
Not really.
So it makes it very difficult because, you know, when people are dealing with their depression, finding someone who can really get into the true nature of it is going to be more challenging.
More challenging.
More challenging.
And to the patient, because the patient, sometimes they like concrete information. I can't deal with the soul. I don't know anything about
right.
it. The astral realms, I just want to know this earth planet, how we can deal with it. Well, somewhere there has to be a happy union between the consciousness of the earth and the consciousness of the universe. I think some of a lot of our contemporary psychologists will get into that. Jung started to get into that in terms of cosmic consciousness and the idea that we are an element of the universe and that we have these archetypes and different energies that we model and behave after. So when we get more into the outreaches of conventional psychology, and this isn't anything new that I'm saying, that these are really old ideas.
Right, but that, I mean, Jung even is more dealing with the personality in terms of archetypes than the energy of the soul. I mean, maybe, yes, it goes there to a level, but it's still
yeah.
on an earth.
Well, the terminology would be parapsychology, where it's man's connection, man and woman's connection to
Human's
the universe.
Connection.
you're in your analysis of psychology, you're dealing with something beyond the planet. You're dealing with something cosmic, spiritual, and other, almost otherworldly. But when you say otherworldly, you're really saying there are other worlds. You're not just using the concept of the psyche in terms of the planet Earth.
The physicality of Earth.
You're using the concept of the psyche in terms of other planets, other dimensions, and things like that.
So we have a couple more minutes. We have about 3 minutes, Neil. So I think we're wrapping up. Is there something you wanted to say to conclude?
We can go on, but in 3 minutes, we're not going to be able to approach anything with a great depth. So we really don't have a lot of time on our radio shows because we accommodate so many callers to get into the depth of this. So we'll try to continue it maybe at another time.
Yeah, we can continue on Friday. And actually, I'm glad I mentioned this. And in fact, we are on the air on Monday and Wednesday next week. Monday and Wednesday. So we'll be on Friday in 2 days and then Monday and Wednesday, and then we're not doing a show on Friday. So mark your calendars, everybody. And as I said, we're back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to our callers and our listeners. Bye-bye.